Have you heard of brand archetypes? And even if so, are you aware of how you can actually use brand archetypes in your copy to create a really distinct voice and personality? Well, we're going to talk about all of that and more in today's episode, so stay tuned. Welcome to Emma Givens Content and Copy. My name's Emma, and I'm the founder of a boutique agency specializing in branded copywriting and content writing for small and medium-sized businesses. I know from experience working with hundreds of businesses of all shapes and sizes that compassionate, client-centered copy and content ultimately does three incredibly powerful things. One, it helps your ideal client by matching them to a product or service that's going to improve their life. Two, it positions you as the guy they think of first and trust wholeheartedly. And three, it actually improves conversion and retention for a thriving business long-term. Are you excited to stand out to more of the clients you adore? Let's dive into some content and copy. Welcome or welcome back to Emma Givens Content and Copy on YouTube and the podcast version. So if you prefer to take it with you, go to the podcast, or if you like to see the visuals and want to see things like sales page reviews, we typically put out more content on YouTube. So please subscribe over there. So as a branded copywriting boutique, brand messaging is the foundation of all the work that we do. And brand messaging comes in the form of our brand messaging Bibles. So much like you'll have a visual brand guide for your business that includes hex codes for your colors, the kinds of stock images you use, you know, what the variations of your logo are, the fonts that you use. Well, our brand messaging Bibles are the word parallel to that. So essentially it covers things like the stories that you tell, samples of how your ideal clients speak, like real world, how they would truly describe things, the specific word choices that you'll make. Do you use contractions or not? Super, super detailed. And essentially it does two things. A brand messaging Bible will help you make really strategic decisions around marketing and sales. It will also help you to understand, it's like reading the little diary of your ideal clients, so that way you can speak to them in a way that they really understand and meet them where they're at to take them on that sales and marketing journey. So it's a super, super powerful tool. And if you're interested in creating a brand messaging Bible, then check out the link in the description box below on YouTube or in the show notes on the podcast, because we offer this as a service. We don't just do it with our copywriting and content clients. We will also just create your brand messaging Bible for you. So check that out. But one of the things that is a fundamental section of a brand messaging Bible is your archetype report. And this is because knowing your brand archetype influences all of your decisions around visual branding as well as your writing. And we consider this the foundation of the way that we do copy for our clients. So knowing their unique archetype mix, the stories that we need to tell because of that mix, the word choices that we need to make, the values that we lean into, all of that, it's all informed by the archetype. So I always have the archetype section of their guide pulled up when I'm working on client copy. The rest of the guide is also relevant as well, but this is really the section that I lean into to create a really differentiated voice. That being said, what are brand archetypes? Well, archetypes in general were recognized by Carl Jung, who was a psychoanalyst in the 20th century. And basically, he saw 12 recurring characters that would show up across time periods, across civilizations, in every religion. They just seemed to be universal. And so these 12 characters also turned out to be very useful in storytelling for marketers as well. So brand archetypes are not some sort of woo-woo thing. They are, I mean, archetypes can be, and they can certainly be super fun to explore that way, but brand archetypes are used by all major marketing firms, and brands like Coca-Cola or Walmart know what their archetypes are, and the marketing agencies or the in-house marketers that they have creating ad campaigns and making a lot of different strategic decisions are making those decisions in part based on the brand's archetype. So I believe that archetypes play a more critical role than ever in creating a really differentiated brand message, because people are very savvy. Consumers are more skeptical of brands than ever. And so they want to make sure that there is something in terms of values and voice, that kind of unspoken, unconscious element that really feels aligned with them when they're going to invest in a brand. And since archetypes are said to have come from our collective unconscious, that's the psychoanalyst piece of the archetype theory, it makes a ton of sense in terms of why, even though people don't know that you're using purple because it's a magician brand, they feel that this is some sort of mystical thing or it's transformative in some way. People pick up on this. And that's partly due to, you know, things like color psychology, but the meaning behind those colors is deeply connected to the archetypes. And that's also true in terms of the word choices that we make. So, for example, the word freedom makes me immediately think of the explorer archetype. So you might not know that, but if you see the word freedom, I am invoking that in you, the feeling that I want to create an experience that is perfect for explorer brands. So let's get into a little bit more detail. Okay, one more thing first is that your archetypes are going to create a personality for your brand. So they are simultaneously going to help you stand out and really significantly attract the right people to you while also repelling the wrong people. So they're meant to be really customized, to be very vibrant. And, you know, you're not meant to be for every single person out there. You're meant to be for the right people, your target audience. And this really helps you make that super, super simple. All right, so I'm going to grab two of my favorite books on archetypes and we'll talk about what the 12 are. And then I'm going to give you some examples of how we'll use one specific archetype. We're going to use the magician. And we're going to talk about how I would use the magician archetype to recommend specific storytelling techniques, specific word choices, phrases, etc., even down to grammar in a client's voice. Okay, so these are my two favorite books on brand archetypes. We have, first off, The Hero and the Outlaw, Building Extraordinary Brands Through the Power of Archetypes by Margaret Mark and Carol S. Pearson. I will put our bookshop link in the description box below on YouTube and in the show notes on the podcast. It is an affiliate link, but I really like Bookshop because they are basically buying the books from independent retailers. And of course, if you're not in the places where Bookshop sells, which is, I believe right now, the US, Spain, and the UK, then you'll just see a list of the books we recommend and you can go and buy them from your local bookshops. But The Hero and the Outlaw is one of them. And then the other one is Archetypes in Branding, a Toolkit for Creatives and Strategists by Margaret Pott Hartwell and Joshua C. Chen with Chen Design Associates. So it is really, really my favorite. As someone who does a lot of brand messaging work, who does archetype sessions as part of our brand messaging Bible experience. But I would say if you're just curious about archetypes, then this book is the right one to start with. So the reason for that is that The Hero and the Outlaw actually just focuses on those dominant 12 archetypes, whereas Archetypes in Branding has a lot less information in it, but it's more of a system that goes into subtypes within the 12. And so the reason why our clients are able to have such a unique and defined personality for their brands and a really customized brand voice is because we're layering. So one thing that we do is we use three archetypes to create a mix. So we have a dominant, we have a conditioned, and an inherent. And the dominant one is the one we want to lean into the most, but the other two play very, very critical roles. And on top of that, we don't just pick dominant, conditioned, and inherent from the main 12. We actually choose them from all of the potential subtypes in the archetypes and branding system. So this is why there's nothing quite like working with a brand messaging expert. And it's why if this is interesting to you and you're really looking to have a clear message that stands out, that helps you make sales, that helps you draw in leads, that I would strongly recommend that you reach out or at least explore the brand messaging experience. Because our brand messaging Bibles are just unparalleled. I truly, truly believe that. But that being said, this is your first time exploring it. You're going to just want to start with looking at those top 12 archetypes, those recognize 12 archetypes. We're also just going to be using the names for the 12 archetypes that are in The Hero and the Outlaw for this video. There are variations on the names across different systems, but essentially they're all the same main 12. The subtypes is where you get a lot of nuance, but we're going to use the naming conventions in this book. So the 12 archetypes are the innocent, the explorer, the sage, which is my brand's dominant archetype, just in case you're curious, the hero, the outlaw, the magician, the regular guy or gal, again, this is the title in this specific book. There are lots of other names for that one, like The Girl or Guy Next Door, The Every Person. I like The Every Person. The Lover, The Jester, The Caregiver, The Creator, and The Ruler. So even reading off the names of these archetypes, you probably have some immediate feelings or associations that come to mind. So one person might really just seize up at the thought of the ruler, whereas someone you hear as the explorer might get super, super excited, right? And that shows you also a little bit of how the language plays into whether something is attractive to you or repellent. And if you're someone's ideal client, of course, it's meant to be attractive to you. So for example, if I say explorer, a lot of people will be able to guess it probably has something to do with travel or outdoor adventure. And a lot of the time, brands that are in those niches are explorers. So for example, a tiny homes project that I'm working on has the explorer as their dominant type, but I've also had brands totally outside that sphere. And so for example, a therapist. And the reason that that's so important is it's that very accurate realization of, okay, what are the values of the explorer? What are the storytelling techniques of the explorer? So that someone who's a brand messaging strategist can diagnose that and really make sure that it's pinpointed to you so that you don't sound like everybody else. A therapist who is dominant explorer is going to sound really different from a therapist that is dominant magician, which is what most people think of. Magician because it's transformative, or sometimes a caregiver, which is pretty obvious, right? That tone is totally different than someone who is an explorer, right? There's going to be a lot of independence in their approach. We'll go into specific types, possibly in future videos. If that's interesting to you, if you'd like to actually see videos dedicated to each of the 12 types, let me know that in the comments below. But for now, suffice it to say that just by the names alone, you can tell that the brand's personality will be quite distinct. And so for another example of this, let's look at Pepsi and Coca-Cola. So these are the same product. I mean, they're the same product. If you disagree, tell me, and actually tell me if you have a really strong opinion about which one you prefer. I prefer Coca-Cola. But I don't think that's because of the taste, because really they're the same product. I genuinely think it's because of their brand archetype and because they have very different archetypes. Coca-Cola is very recognizably the innocent archetype. So this reminds us of childhood. It draws on childhood themes. So for example, the polar bears that show up in their marketing or Santa Claus. I mean, Santa wears red because of a relationship with Coca-Cola. I'm just going to leave it there, okay? So that has a very specific feel to it. The emotions it brings up, that like pure joy, the happiness that it's trying to evoke, is very specific. Pepsi, on the other hand, starts to draw on things like the ruler archetype. And so that would be things like using celebrities in commercials. And this is really, really distinct from that innocent feel. Now, like I said, a lot of really good brand messaging strategists also use archetype mixes. And so oftentimes Pepsi will be seen a little bit as a mix of the ruler and the jester. I don't know what they officially see themselves as, but once you get to know archetypes pretty well, you start to be able to pick up on what archetype a brand embodies. Another great example of an archetype that's very, very recognizable in a brand is Häagen-Dazs. So Häagen-Dazs is undeniably the lover archetype. It's very decadent, luxurious, maybe a little bit sensual because it's something that's food and something that's filling up the senses. So this is a really good example of a very clear archetype, the lover, but you don't have to necessarily have all ice cream brands being the lover. Ben & Jerry's is a very different feel to Häagen-Dazs. Ben & Jerry's is comfortable exploring politics and having kind of funny puns, very different from Häagen-Dazs. And a lot of that is informed by their archetypes and essentially the brand personality that is in part formed by their archetype mix. Okay, so now that we have a basic understanding of what archetypes are and we know the names of the 12 types, we're going to give a specific example with the magician of how knowing an archetype will inform a copywriter's choices. So for us, of course, like I said, we use that unique archetype mix, but I am actually going to pull from an archetype report that I wrote for a client, and I'm just going to be pulling from their dominant magician archetype section to give you a really concrete couple of examples around how the magician informs our storytelling choices, our grammar choices, and just in general, our writing choices. So like I said, magicians are about transformation. It's often about tapping into the laws of the universe and making change. It's a little bit magical. And it's often something that shows up in coaches or therapists because It's about making dreams a reality in many times. But this brand, all I'm going to say is that it's actually a food brand and it can make dreams a reality in a different way. And let's say if it were ice cream, it's Magician, different from Haagen-Dazs, the lover, and totally different from the wacky personality of Ben and Jerry's. Okay, so for brand storytelling, these examples are partly drawn from what I know about this particular brand, but also would potentially be common to many musicians. So here are some examples. You could evoke medieval legends such as King Arthur and highlight the magic of objects. So of course that could be Excalibur, but when we talk about things like food containers, we can also try and make that object feel more magical in a way. You might also want to create rituals around this product. So for example, unboxing can be an entire ritual, an entire experience. We can use phrases like, it's a magic moment. And then the final example I'll give is that you can use imagery from the heavens, from stars, for example. That tends to be very evocative of the magician type as well. I think that plays into a lot of other connected things like astrology and something sort of mystical at the same time. So some examples of how the magician dominant type, also again informed by the specific brand, would influence the brand voice. So you can use magician related words like reveal or unveil or pull back the curtain. So instead of saying, let's give you a look behind the scenes, pull back the curtain would be a much better fit. Another great example would be to compare the transformations that your product or service gives with physical movement from here to there. So try and find analogies that let you create some sort of physical comparison of current state versus future state. You also want to use words like want or desire pretty frequently because they're really dreaming up a transformation. I also like to include some examples of brands or personalities that embody this archetype. And this is really helpful, especially when I connect them to brands and personalities in a totally different sphere. So let's say again, let's use the ice cream example. Let's say this is ice cream and I might show them something in the entertainment business instead. Or to give you really specific examples, I've shown them that Isabel Allende, who is a writer in the style of magical realism, is a great example of a magician personality, and her approach to storytelling is very, very helpful for all magician types. I've also mentioned Sony or MasterCard, and then some personalities like Willy Wonka and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, so that's a fictional one, but also Benjamin Franklin is considered to be a magician archetype. So of course, these examples were informed by the product that I was writing this report for, but a lot of them are relevant to magician types overall. Now, something really important to consider is the fact that when we actually go and we do writing, we're not just using this dominant archetype report, which is where I've taken these samples from. We have a complete report, which is part of their brand messaging guide. And so that means that we will be using a mix of approaches in a very strategic way from their dominant, their conditioned, and their inherent types. So let's say two food brands come to us. What are the chances that they're going to have the exact same archetype mix? Really low. And the reason for that is twofold. One, the founder of the brand is still a unique individual. So their exact use of the language, their specific products, their values, the way that they see the world are going to be different because they just are a different human. But then the other thing is that with the mix that we use, we actually have so many archetypes to choose from, it's very, very unlikely they'll ever coincide. So not only do we have a specific mix of dominant, conditioned, and inherent per each brand. But within all three of those, we also use the archetypes and branding system. So that way we don't have just 12 to choose from. Every single one of those 12 has an additional 4 subtypes within it. So many to choose from. And so let's say that they're both magician, like just straight magician dominant. The chances that they are also, you know, the companion, which is a subtype of the lover, as the condition type, and the artist, which is a subtype of the creator, as the inherent type. Like, it's so unlikely. it has never happened in our experience. And even so, like I said, we always can go back to the founder and the unique personality of the founder, the unique origin story of the business. There will always be ways to differentiate, which is why it's really, really beneficial to work with brand messaging experts. So if learning about archetypes and about the reports that we put together is exciting to you, and it's exciting to me because it's something we're super passionate about, it's so fun. Usually the archetype session of our brand messaging Bible experiences are all of our clients' favorite. So like I said, if it's exciting to you, then please explore it in the description box of the show notes below. We'll have a link there to learn more about it. And if this is something that is the right next step for your business, then please consider going ahead and booking a call with me to talk about booking your brand messaging experience. All right. Do you already know your main, your dominant brand archetype? Let us know in the comments below on YouTube, or be sure to tag me in a story over on Instagram if you're listening on the podcast version. And that way I'll get to learn a little bit more about you and your business and your personality. Thank you for joining me today on Emma Givens Content and Copy. It was great to spend this time with you exploring brand archetypes, and I will see you next week. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to Emma Givens Content and Copy. If you had an aha moment or insight from today's episode, let's make it stick by writing it down in a review. It would actually mean the world to me and my entire team. You can write a review on Apple Podcasts, then screenshot it and tag me on Instagram at Emma Givens Writer. I'd be thrilled to start a conversation with you and reshare your big aha moment with the rest of the audience. Until next time, remember, your voice matters. Let's set it free. See you next week for another episode of Emma Givens Content and Copy.